This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
This is Brian Wheeler, Executive Director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Thanks for listening to this audio recording. Since 2005, Charlottesville Tomorrow has been capturing, analyzing, and sharing community news from important meetings and presentations like this one. We couldn't do it without the support of our generous donors. As someone who listens to our podcast, if you have not done so already, I hope you will join the many other community members who have made a charitable gift to support our work. Visit our website at seavilletomorrow.org and click on the donation button for more information. Thanks again for listening and for getting engaged in our community.
At their meeting on November 23, 2010, the Charlottesville Planning Commission was briefed on a proposed $23.4 million capital improvement program that will be considered by Charlottesville City Council in the spring. Charlottesville Tomorrow's recording begins with Leslie Beauregard, Budget Director for the City of Charlottesville.
So this is the official kickoff to the 2012-16 CIP process.
Oh, weird.
That was weird. And what I just passed out was the presentation for this evening. I'm going to run through this pretty quickly, and then I've got some other handouts for you that I'll provide just a little bit as we go through this. So I think everybody knows what a CIP is, and this will be the same presentation we gave on the 14th at the public hearing. So a lot of this is for the benefit of people in the audience who don't really know what a capital improvement program is. But quickly, it's a five-year financial plan. It's on projects that cost usually more than $50,000. Generally, they're non-recurring, and they might have some operational impacts, but they're not operating expenses necessarily, and they have a useful life of 5 years or more. And these are the types of things that are in the CIP that they actually fund. So it includes, you know, school improvements, playgrounds, bridges, and the new transit station that's right downtown here. So these are all examples of capital projects. These are more examples. These kind of get into the nitty-gritty, stormwater, streets and sidewalks. So not only are we building new infrastructure, but we use the capital budget to actually improve existing infrastructure, which, as we know, as an aging city, is extremely important. We have a CIP review process that has a couple of different committees. The ranking committee actually looks at the projects submitted by departments, and each department receives an application to submit, and they rank their own projects on their own, and I'll go over through those in just a minute. The staff ranking committee then comes in, asks questions, and then adjusts those ratings as necessary, and that's usually after consulting with the department that submitted the application. The Budget Development Committee then looks at the rankings, receives the report from that committee, and then creates a CIP that basically makes financial sense for the city, and that usually means not being able to fund everything, but hopefully we're catching the most critical things that we can fund. And then we have some project evaluation criteria that each of the departments has to follow. So here's this criteria. And this has been approved by City Council and the Planning Commission, and we did this a couple of years ago, and we try to revisit it every year, at least every other year. The most important being, is it a legal mandate? Is there a public health and safety component to the project that needs to be dealt with? Does it align with the strategic vision of City Council, and also does it align with the comprehensive plan? And is it going to be an infrastructure investment that is going to either protect our infrastructure or create new infrastructure? Also, we have some criteria around environmental sustainability, which is also very important to the city. We wanted to make sure this investment actually encourages economic development, which creates revenue for the city, which is extremely important. What impact does it have on city operational finances? And this is looked at as more as, you know, what is it going to be a minimal impact or a major impact, and can we actually, is it going to be able to be supported in the future? And then is there a revenue generation component? And unfortunately, not many capital projects really can tag revenue on necessarily, but sometimes that does happen. And then there's a few areas of special consideration.
What would those be?
You know, I'm trying to remember. Let's see. Good question. It's in your packet, I think. Those would be, does the project, for example, does the project have a payback schedule of 5 years or less? That's on page three as well. Is the project tied with other existing or proposed projects? Is there public support for the project? Can any outside funding be leveraged? Can the project create a partnership with other organizations? And does it help maintain or does it increase a level of services already provided by the city? So each of those areas get a point or so, 1 point, 3 points to 1 point. Last year, I think the Planning Commission came up with their own priorities, and I believe this summer you had a work session. You didn't have a work session, and you actually adopted the same priorities.
Right. The commission decided to appoint a member to be involved in the process with the budget office.
Right, and that was John. Mm-hmm. So he sat on the ranking committee and was involved, at least through email, in the budget development of the CIP. So these are the priorities that the Planning Commission arrived at a few years ago, and there's also a sheet in the package that shows how much money is being dedicated to each of these priorities. So again, these were not revisited this year in lieu of John sitting on the committee and making sure that these areas were covered. And in fact, in 12, my note here says that there are 19 projects that total $9 million that meet each of these priorities. And for the 5 years, it's 23 projects totaling $33 million. So that's quite a bit of money going to these priorities. The CIP timeline, actually, we start earlier than September. We actually start updating the packages in July and August and making any changes to them. But in September, they actually come back to the budget office. They go out to departments in August and come back to the budget office in September. And then we spend September, October, and November ranking the projects, evaluating them, sending the ranking to the Budget Development Committee, and then, of course, in November, we decide what is a feasible capital budget, what can we afford to do, and then those recommendations come to you from the city manager. And then you are hearing about it for the first time tonight, and then in December, on the 14th, you'll have a public hearing. And the process we have been through, which has worked, I think, very well the last year, couple of years, has been that this is the recommended CIP of the Planning Commission. Any changes or additions or subtractions or recommendations that you have now, we will, you can discuss today, you can discuss on the 14th, and City Council will be at that meeting on the 14th, and they'll hear your recommendations, and then you put a list together in a memo. And then we present that memo to City Council when we present the proposed budget in March of next year. And the CIP is brought together with the operating and the school's budget as a package all at one time. So I kind of talked about this a little bit. So we continue to develop. So we spend between now and then basically finalizing the operating budgets. And then in March, we present the CIP along with the city and school budgets to the City Council. And then between March and April 15th is when Council actually makes changes to the budget and puts their amendments in place, and then they adopt the budget by April 15th. So this is the 2012, and just to remind everybody that 2012 is the only year that's actually appropriated. The out years after that are just proposed, and they do and will change this time next year. 13 won't look the same as it does now, I would imagine. But our general fund contribution for 12 is almost $4.8 million. That's about a $500,000 increase from the current fiscal year. We actually have a budget policy that 3% of our general fund revenue, general fund budget goes into the CIP. I don't know what the percentage is right now, But I don't think our general fund budget is going to increase that much, so I'm sure we're way above the 3%, actually, which is good. Because the more cash we put in, that means the less we have to actually borrow, and we get to keep our debt low. The bond issuance, which is the money we were planning to borrow, is almost $15.5 million. We're also proposing to use $2 million of 2010 fund balance surplus. City Council has already heard they've already actually passed the first motion to approve these, the year-end appropriation, and they'll finalize it at their next meeting. But the surplus, the city's policy is that any money that is in excess of our fund balance target, which is 12% of general fund budget, goes into the capital budget, and so we're following our policy by doing this. This is technically being tied to Old Lynchburg Road. We did not have the $2.5 million planned this time last year. Council has since directed that get funded all in one at one time, so we put $3 million in 12. Previously, there was only $500,000 in 12. So that money is basically being tied to that project. We do have some shared services with Albemarle County. That's about $69,000 that we expect to receive from the county. The schools make a contribution to their small cap project of $200,000, and there's an expenditure at that amount that shows up as well. The UVA contribution of $750,000 is for the Fontaine area fire station. And that's the money for that is in next year's budget as well. And the PEG fee revenue is for the city's cable, the government services channel. So that's revenue the city receives, and then we use those expenditures to support that operation. So for 12, we're looking at a $23.44 million capital budget on the revenue side. And expenditures also equal $23.44 million, and this is the breakdown of the projects. City schools receive about $3 million. And all of these, I'm going to have a slide for to go into detail. For public safety, that's just the Ivy Fontaine Fire Station, $8.75 million. Facilities and buildings, and I actually have a sheet that breaks out that $1.38 million, what that's going to be spent on. Also have a sheet for the schools to show you as well. Economic development, this money goes into an economic development fund, which is really an investment fund. If something comes down the line where we really need to invest and it's going to be good for the city and it'll bring in revenue, that's the fund we tap for that. Neighborhood improvements at $50,000, transportation access, and you can see, and I'll go through each of these. So again, the expenditures equal the revenues, $23.44 million. Okay, city schools. Most of this actually, or a large portion of this, is $1.2 million for football bleacher replacement, and this has actually been in the capital budget for several years now. The bleachers are on their last leg, and it's a safety issue, and so they've been doing repairs to them here and there, but they will be replaced next year. I do want to say something about, since it came up in an email, the synthetic field. And let me just pass this out. This is a line item of the lump sum that the schools receive from the city. And it's just over $1 million. And I don't know if I have enough copies for everybody. Passed around. So we give the schools this lump sum of money every year. And they basically work with our facilities folks and Parks and Rec folks, work with the schools to develop a prioritization of what projects are going to be funded. And that's a separate system process from this system. $100,000 for the synthetic field, we had recommended, the reason why it's not showing up as a line item is that we are recommending that this be funded within this lump sum account. And that is not unprecedented. We have asked the schools to do this before. In fact, if you look at projected 2012 at the end, they're looking at a year-end balance of $158,000. So it looks like they've got some room there. If they want to leverage those dollars and get some money, it looks like within the lump sum they have room to do that. So that was our recommendation going into this budget. Not to say that you can still recommend that we pull it out, you know, and say we want a separate line item, or council may decide they want a separate line item at some point. But that was our thought process is going into this proposed CIP. So I just wanted to share this with you so that you could see what kind of projects
Leslie, do I understand correctly that you're saying that then the schools would make the determination about whether or not that money was spent on turf replacement or not?
Correct. Right, because they have their own prioritization process. So if they think it's a high priority, then they are free to move these projects around. And they've done that before. And, that, and we've asked, and we've told them, or basically recommended to them that they do that. And I know they do that. I mean, and John can speak to that as well.
I know from having been on the school board before, when we would have capital improvements come before us, there was 1 year when there needed to be improvements made to the baseball field. And somehow we were able to move money around and get it approved, even though it wasn't in the initial CIP projects. And schools have that ability to move those monies around. Of course, you know, I know that they're feeling, and they have not, their CIP committee has not met in over a year, and they're feeling they have a bare-bones budget as far as the school board goes. But I also know that this was being recommended through the Parks Advisory Committee,
right.
And Leslie and I were speaking about it, and some of it seemed to me is that Either it should be come out of the parks money, or we find money somewhere else in it, or the schools and the parks work together somehow to pull that together, rather than, especially if all the money's been allocated, if it's in the surplus this year. But I would want to make sure we ask enough questions of the schools to find out whether or not, you know, they actually do have that money. And evidently they're using that as a match for the large donor who will provide the bulk of the money for the synthetic field, and then they have a number of small donors who are then going to step forward. And one of their concerns, of course, is the other three high schools in the area all have their synthetic fields approved, and they're trying to get, you know, Charlottesville High School synthetic field. Even though I know some years ago, and I think it's come back up a few times, there were issues about safety and injury, and that may have been under old synthetic turf rather than whatever they're talking about now. But we've been looking at it, and you know, I think I would agree with Leslie.
So Leslie, as you're suggesting, you just kind of do the schools as a lump sum.
Right.
Is there also a precedent for doing schools as a lump sum plus some school-related items?
Some, as a line item?
Yeah.
Like, for example, the football bleachers is a separate line item.
Okay.
Because that's a huge dollar amount. Uh-huh. And we have an HVAC replacement plan that's also mm-hmm. a line item, because that's very important and could be costly if you don't, you know, if we didn't get on a plan, we're going to find ourselves having huge spikes of needs down the road as HVAC systems fail. So that's also a separate line item. So yes, we've absolutely done that before. And there's other things we've done. For example, when we put lighting in this girls' softball field, that was a separate line item because that was a Title IX issue that we had to do. So we pulled that out. We didn't reduce their funding. We just put in additional funding to cover that. So yes, absolutely.
Well, it's generally a dollar amount that makes it a separate line item as opposed to being part
it depends
of the
general. It could be a dollar amount. Like the football bleachers was such a large dollar amount. It seemed like that. I mean, that's their entire program for the year, so that made sense to pull that out. In other cases, it might be kind of a high-profile issue, like the girls' softball field lighting. That kind of became high-profile, and so that got pulled out as a separate line item. So it just depends on the project. And this, you know, could, you know, maybe this is something that could get the same type of attention that would get pulled out. But again, that's, you know, what I'm just sharing my thought process is going into the proposal.
Right.
So.
And I know that bleacher replacement goes back to when I was on the school board, and that's
right.
8 years ago.
Oh, it's been on for a long time.
It's been on for, and every year that there would be another priority that would come forward, you know, whether it was, you know, an electrical system, a heating
right.
system, something else that kind of bumped that back.
Right.
And, you know, it just kind of works its way through.
Yeah. And we've tried to do, and I know we've tried to do things. I mean, we've really done a fabulous job on our schools, and I personally think they have a pretty aggressive capital improvement program. I mean, my son goes to Jackson Via, and just being in that building that has no asbestos, I think is really amazing, and it looks like a new building to me. So I think we have a pretty aggressive program. And we know the discussion going on right now about moving middle schools around. And so, and actually, by the way, there's money in there for that. So we already have some design money programmed in the budget in 11 and within the lump sum for that. So there's some planning going on right now. But again, going back to the recommendation, you know, I don't think it's unfair to ask the schools to take this project and try to prioritize it within their existing lump sum, because there are definitely resources out there, whether it's here or through Parks and Rec or through facilities
okay.
or whatever. So.
Thank you.
But a question I have on that is, part of, you know, what we saw in emails about how it would be, you know, beneficial to have this synthetic field would be so that not just the schools could use it. So if it's not a joint, you know, through Parks and Rec and through the schools, is there that possibility that it's not then being able to be utilized by anybody but the schools if it's just a school venture?
I mean,
do you see how that, you know what I'm saying?
You mean if they fund, if they use their lump sum to pay for
totally
it,
totally fund it,
they
yeah.
I think I remember hearing that the the school fields like at Buford and at Walker and all that those fields are, even though the schools, let me make sure I get this right, even though they kind of administer those fields, Parks and Rec has some real investment in them, which is why Parks and Rec was stepping forward to make the recommendation to replace the turf field and put the synthetic turf down, because it somehow ties back into their responsibility for caring for those fields and taking care of them at this point in time. So that it's a joint
right
venture.
I know that for the middle schools, but the high school is completely different.
And I think the high school kind of works the same way. I mean, at least that's what I was understanding from who I was talking to over at the school system, that the football field and some of those fields out there have a hybrid relationship.
It just seems like they're so heavily scheduled that they
wouldn't be available
or certainly
not. That was one of the concerns, is that even with a synthetic turf field, that other folks wouldn't have access to that until after that bulk of the high school sports were completed,
yeah.
especially in the fall when you have football and field hockey and
maybe 10 weeks in the summer.
Could be. But that you can get back onto those fields a lot quicker than you can on a regular grass field.
I played rugby for 10 years. We're constantly staying on the sideline waiting on the field.
Right.
So I totally get it. And I totally understand the lack of fields that are available in this town for not just kids, but for adults. I mean, it's a big issue. I'm going to talk. The safety of that turf field is a little bit scary to me. I don't know that. Have we? I mean, it's not the time for this now. We should talk about it later.
All right.
Okay.
Let's keep going.
Can't tell them they got to pay for it, and we don't like it.
Well, I didn't say that. I'm just.
And if every other team in the division.
I think every other team in the division.
Right.
That's the reason why you need
that.
Okay.
Public safety. This, like I said before, this is the This is the creation of a station out at Fontaine, and there's a rendering of it below. So that entire dollar amount is in FY 2012, and the 750 is offset by 750 that's coming from EVA as a cash contribution to that project. Facilities and buildings also have the breakdown of this project. This is another thing like the schools, it's lump sum, and this is just city facilities this time. So that goes around. So basically, this kind of works the same way. So we give facilities a lump sum amount. Again, though, they also have a line item broken out for city HVAC replacement, which we actually created in 12 for the first time. That's new. Because what we were finding was we would get these huge spikes of expenditures, you know, $300,000, $600,000 to replace HVAC systems, and it seemed to make sense to actually spread it out over time. And if something happens that's an emergency, we would find a way to cover it. We always do. We don't let people get cold or not have utilities. So that just shows you what the proposal is for city facilities and buildings. And again, the only thing that's new is the HVAC plan. I don't know if there's any questions about that.
Leslie, what happens with both the schools and the facilities? If there's a surplus of funds, do schools hang on to that money, or
no,
do the different departments, or does it come back to the city?
They just reprogram it the following year. Because it's in the capital budget, it automatically carries over into the next year. So if there's any money left over, then it goes right back into that project. And the schools and facilities would just reprogram those dollars, and same with city buildings. They would just reprogram those dollars in the following year.
Okay.
I know that we have tight budget, and I know we have some involvement with city space, but in these considerations, was there any thought of better meeting space and improved audio visual?
Yeah,
I mean, I look, Yeah. We sit in this room every month, and there's...
Starting the first of the year, this room is going to be doubled in size. The HVAC has been fixed, so it's going to be a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they actually got some year-end money to do some big changes.
That's really good.
But overall, it's their plan, not that I'm aware of.
Because I think it really does inhibit the level of participation.
This is going to be a much better room for you to use and have meetings. It's going to be a lot better. Better AV system, the whole bit. So.
Economic development, as I mentioned before, this is just a pool of money that goes into strategic development initiatives. So if something comes along that we want to invest in, or we, you know, maybe there's an economic development opportunity that comes down the pike, then we have some dollars to actually do that and hopefully bring dollars back into the city. That's the purpose of that.
Do you know how much is in that fund now?
I do. I can't remember.
And then how much of it was expended in the last fiscal year?
I can get that report. I don't have that in front of me. Let's see.
No, it was well over $2 million expended in the last year.
Yeah, we can get that for you. I have that. Current as of November 11th, which is just a few weeks ago, there's $1.4 million in that fund. But that doesn't really tell the whole story, because there's an additional $1 million that's in there that council set aside for affordable housing. How long ago was that? A couple of years ago?
2 years ago, yeah.
And it's just, we're just kind of waiting for them to do something with it. So, but we can get the last, we have a whole history of it. We can pull that, no problem. So.
That sometimes comes up in our hearings, so it would be good for us to have that information.
Sure. I think. Yeah, we have that. Okay, and that's updated pretty regularly. So. These are the neighborhood improvement funds. And actually, I think how these are going to work in the future is it's going to be a neighborhood match.
Yeah, right. Council just approved with $100,000 we have now for a matching grant program with neighborhoods that we're just getting the details worked out and be laid out after the first of the year. But the match can be cash or it can be in kind, and they're small projects. It's very small projects.
What does that mean? Like what would be the types of projects, and what is a neighborhood, and what is it?
A neighborhood can be any of the 30 or so that we deal with. It can be a neighborhood sign, something marking the neighborhood is what one or two of them have been interested in. We're going to use it to, if a neighborhood wants to help reestablish itself, use it for promotional materials, use it for a website, that sort of thing. It's written loosely enough that it can be done that way, build that kind of project. But it's $2,500 generally is the top end. We can go up to $10,000, but we're trying to keep it to around $2,500.
And what would the likely source for the matching funds be?
It can be funds that the neighborhood may have. If it's a school and a PTO that wants to do something on a school property, or in kind, it can be a lot of in kind stuff.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
Are these competitive?
I'm sorry?
I mean, do neighborhoods have to compete for the funds?
Compete, maybe. If we get more than the annual supply of money, yes. And we're going to have a neighborhood-based ranking committee. We're going to get 5 or 6 neighborhood reps to review them and make recommendations on how the money gets dispersed.
Thank you.
Transportation and access and handsome. So there's $6.5 million here. This includes sidewalk repair and new sidewalks, paving, bridge inspections, traffic, a bunch of stuff. The big one being Old Lynchburg Road, that the whole $3 million got put into fiscal year 2012. Last year, at the request of council, we also pulled some money out of traffic and put it into a separate line item called bicycle infrastructure, so that continues next year. So this, most of this actually continues efforts we're already doing currently.
Is that broken down?
Each area is broken down in the actual CIP itself. Okay. So if you're if you go into the actual line items, you can see that, for example, underground utilities is $100,000, new sidewalks is $300,000. So you can see how each one of those areas is actually broken down.
Any
Parks and Recreation is just over $1 million. This includes playgrounds, Washington Park Bathhouse, which, as you, if you've driven by there, you'll see they're doing a lot of work over there. So this completes the work at Washington Park. Trails, greenways, tree preservation, the master plan at McIntyre, and parkland acquisition, which we added a couple of years ago, which actually came out of this planning mission. And then the council embraced that. Stormwater initiatives. This continues. Now, we've had discussions over the year about the stormwater fee. And this all assumes, again, that there's not going to be any fee in place for 2012. So it continues at the 600,000 level, kind of the major infrastructure needs that stormwater has. And then it continues the neighborhood drainage projects at the same level also that it's been in the past. We also, for 13, went ahead and adjusted the amount upwards for stormwater initiatives. We're not really sure when council's going to revisit the fee. I know in the past one of the recommendations you've made is please get the fee in place. So, you know, I don't know if that's something that you would want to talk about again. But nonetheless, this continues the same level of funding that we have done in the CIP before and does not assume that a fee will be in place anytime in the near future.
I think one thing that we're going, council's aware of is, you know, when we find out what happens with the TMDL stuff, mm-hmm. we're going to have to do something. I mean, we're looking at 2 to 3 million a year to 15 million a year that we're going to contribute to stormwater improvements based on what iteration of the TMDL is actually adopted and we get forced upon us. So I think this is a good year to hold while we're evaluating that to see what we have to do. And we may have to make drastic changes in the next 12 months to be able to address that. But we still don't know yet because the governor just resubmitted the water improvement plan to EPA, and we haven't gotten any reaction back to see where it's going to be. So.
Technology infrastructure, I mentioned this is just the public access television support, and these are supported by the PEG fees that you see on your cable bill. Pretty small amount. This includes, these other governmental commitments are just two items, the Charlottesville Housing Fund and the Home Energy Conservation Grant Program. And Jim, did you want to talk about the email, the Housing Fund? And $1 million.
Yeah,
and
I think
dollars
one thing Dan had sent out, I think there's always been some confusion, is this. The housing report that was done, that the Housing Advisory Committee did, recommended for this year about $1,480,000, I think is the number that would be there. When council received that report, their intent by what they approved was that they would fund it each year, but they would include home and CDBG funds depending on the economy. If the economy was better, they might put more general fund money and still have the home and CDBG, but their intent was right now to continue the million a year. We get 130 out of home and about 300 out of CDBG that goes to housing. So those all together will make up the $1,450,460 that is there. That it's not exactly the number, but it's close. But that's the intent that the council had when they adopted the report in February. So they always had the prerogative to include more general fund money and do other things with the CDBG, but the way that they adopted it was to count on those two funds for right now. The Housing Advisory Committee doesn't necessarily, you know, like that, because they would like to see more money from the general fund in it. But given the realities of everything else we had, when it was discussed at City Council, they said that's the way for right now. They wanted to keep funding it.
And you want to talk about how some of the ways those funds have been spent?
Right. There was another question about how the money's been allocated and been spent. Since we've had the housing fund now for 4 years, there's been a total of $6,384,000 go into it. And just as a couple of, a lot of the money has gone to rehab, to, particularly through AHIP. First year it was $280,000. The next year it was about $160,000. The next year it was only about $100,000. But they've been getting a lot of their rehab money out of CDBG also. So they've been averaging probably $300,000 a year, depending on the pot it came from. The first year there was $850,000 that went for Dogwood Housing. Habitat got 420. PHA got 569 for various projects. And Region 10 got 235. The second year, Habitat got another 250 roughly. PHA got 100 plus. The largest amount for in that year went to the SRO project, $347,000, along with $723,000 the next year. And then in the current year, there's $800,000 that's currently going through the evaluation process for award through the CDBG task force. And the rest of that money, $130,000, went to the Eco Remod project. There's been some emergency rehab, home match, housing land use inventory, and some of the paint program. And then we've got some just miscellaneous as small things come up. So, well, you know, it's PHA, Habitat have gotten a lot for the projects they've done. Vernita Court was funded with that. Monticello Vista are two of the projects that PHA used it for. Habitat's done a lot of Patton Street and some single site housing that they've done with that money.
And one item that's not in 12 and it was last year is the YMCA city share, the $625,000. And the reason that was moved to 13 is because they are not, that their construction schedule is being pushed out as they're trying to get their fundraising done. So that basically just aligns when our money is needed by them with their construction schedule. So it doesn't hurt them at all. But it just kind of helps us balance the budget for 12, which is nice. So that's the end of the presentation. So this is your chance to ask questions.
So we are kind of at 40 minutes. So Leslie, you indicated that we will be discussing this again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe key questions that you need to ask now in order to be able to kind of be thinking about this as we move forward. Is that, I want to make sure I try to keep this on schedule.
So I'd like some sense of what's the big number that's out there for all infrastructure? You know, what kind of study do we have of what? Yeah. You know, and are we biting off an appropriate? You know, are we biting off an appropriate percentage of it, or is there some balloon coming? That year six that's not appearing on this schedule, or you know what kind of
are you including utilities in that mix?
Our utilities, yeah, our underground utilities.
I mean, because the gas, water, and sewer infrastructure is handled through the rates, so that's not doesn't show up here because it's a completely different process. Right. So there are huge needs there, but right. Those again will be addressed through rates. And as the needs, you know, are happening over time. But if you're talking about things like streets, paving.
Well, we have a big line item for underground utilities. What's that money going for? Isn't there
underground utilities?
Underground utilities goes for where we partner with the developer on putting a block or so underground, power cable, phone.
Right. I mean, I think you could argue that. Looking at the schools, whereas I could probably find out from them, they have a chart of needs.
Mm-hmm.
They have a big one out there called $36 million that they want to do. So that's in addition to all these regular capital projects. And I'm sure, and I know we have the same thing for city building facilities, where we just can't, you know, there's just not enough money out there to do everything we want to do every year, which is why they have to go through a prioritization process. I mean, if you're interested in that, that's not.
Yeah, no, the building's in that. I think it's more visible. We see it. We know mm-hmm. what it is. You know, I'm just wondering
about
if there
Bridge.
Was.
I mean, you know, that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing, I have a question in that line with that is, I know we're in the process of fixing or repairing the sewer and stormwater where we're having issues. The infrastructure's failing. And that's a timeline, and I think DEQ's involved in that. Am I correct?
You know, I don't know enough about this to speak to.
You're asking about stadium?
I'm talking about the failing sewer that they're in, and now they're repairing with the sewer lines that are were failing, and now the when they're paralleling the repair with the stormwater.
Well, we've pretty much separated. I mean, the combined sewer is not a real issue.
Okay.
We are doing major wastewater improvements. Now, we've got infiltration that they're fixing.
Okay.
And a lot of the infiltration work is ongoing. The two biggest projects are the Meadow Creek Sewer Interceptor Project that will come through the park here and come downtown and will fix a major piece. They go all the way out and pick up the 29 stuff behind Whole Foods.
Right.
The other one is the stadium sewer. It's one of the other big areas. It's actually in, I think, going into phase three, if I'm not mistaken. So those are two that are budgeted and are in the works. One's ours, the stadium sewer's ours. Pretty much the Meadow Creek is a Ravana project. But there's been a lot of infiltration work, a lot of I&I work going on. So I think those are pretty well funded with the sewer stuff right now. It's pretty well funded. The big one, like I say, the big one that's out there is the TMBL stuff.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is what we're doing now with the repairs that, I mean, and I know there's no way to know because we don't know really all the, I mean, do we anticipate that what we're doing now for, with the repair, we're going to meet that? I mean, are we going to have to go back?
Well, again, it's two different issues.
Well,
the sewer stuff, we will meet TMBL. What Ravana's doing, what we're doing, will meet the standard for treating the wastewater.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, maybe I'm not even thinking this, but as I look at it, you know, we spent the last 30 years separating storm and wastewater when probably what we should have been doing is upgrading the treatment capability and keeping it the storm in the sewer to treat it, and we wouldn't be in quite the mess we are. But so much of the TMDL, the retrofits, is going in and digging up asphalt and putting in bioretention for existing pavement, being city streets, private parking lots, the whole bit. That's where that's got to come in. But the plant, the Ravana work, the $45 million they're spending on the plant, will address and meet the standards that are required by TMDL for that. So
didn't you give a presentation to council about this recently?
Right.
Yeah.
Last meeting.
I'm gonna have to stop us here. When we do treat this again, we've kind of got the overview now from Leslie, so we won't need an overview from you, Leslie. I think the next session we have with you, we'll just focus on discussion and input from the commission. If that works for you, that's great. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. And again, if you do have any questions, don't hesitate to email me after things.